Morning. My name is Mark Welsh, and our reading today comes from Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. Since you have been raised to a new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in a place of honor at God's right hand. Think about the things of heaven and not the things of earth. For you died to this life, and your real life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, is revealed to the whole world, you will share in all of his glory. So put to death the sinful earthly things that are lurking within you. They have nothing to do with sexual immorality, impurity, lust, and evil desires. Don't be greedy, for a greedy person is an idolater, worshiping the things of this world. Because of these sins, the anger of God is coming. You used to do these things when your life was still part of this world. But now is the time to get rid of anger, rage, malicious behavior, slander, and dirty language. Don't lie to each other, for you have stripped off your old sinful nature and all of its wicked deeds. Put on your new nature and be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like Him. This is the Word of God for the people of God.
I wonder what it is that refreshes you in your life. What is it that renews you, or who is it that you need to be around in order to be refueled in your Christian development? Who is that person, and what does that look like? My name's Keith Harcombe. I'm your lead pastor here at Palm Harbor, and we are in week 4 of our series, The Domino Effect. And the last 3 weeks, we've been talking about some of the dominoes in our life that can fall over, that can power over the next domino. And it can just start with a small 2-inch domino, and that can knock over one that's 1.5 times bigger than that one, and then that one can knock over one that's 1.5 times bigger than that one. And the first week, our first domino, we talked about our proximity to the ascended Christ. The second week, we talked about how Christ is in you. And then the next week, last week, we talked about how Christ is in us. If Christ is in you, then we realize, actually, we get excited that when Christ is in us, and we get refueled and re-energized. This week, for domino number 4, we're talking about Christ being our life. And it's the domino effect that we're doing throughout the book of Colossians, when Paul sends a letter from prison to his plant of another plant to Colossae. He's never met them before. He's responsible and passionate about communicating the gospel around the Mediterranean, and it's his responsibility to make sure that these Christians, these Christ followers, followers of the way, are refueled and refreshed and renewed. And that's why you're here today, amen? During my time in the Navy, there was a man who was a chaplain. I met this guy. He was a preacher. He was an exhorter. He was a teacher. He was a pastor. And I'll never forget this guy. He was kind of a large domino. He was like 6'7", and he was about 250 pounds. And you knew when Malcolm McCall was in the room because he has such a presence. And he was the kind of guy that when he's seen you, he was so excited. It was like the last time he was ever going to see you again. Keith, I'm so happy to. And he'd give you this great big bear hug. I'm so glad to see you kind of thing. And he'd hug you and he'd be like, oh, Christ loves you. Do you know that, Keith? Jesus loves you so much. I love you. My wife, Janet, she loves you too. And when you were around him, you felt renewed and refreshed and re-energized. And everybody knew this guy, Malcolm McCall. And he was in and amongst sailors. In and amongst sailors who had somewhat of a life that was different than his. Some people were so embarrassed that when they seen Malcolm walking through the dockyard, walking past the ships, they would go over the other side of the street kind of thing to get away from him, so they didn't get too embarrassed and they wouldn't come up and give him a big bear hug, you know. One time we were in a house and one of the believers had opened up the house to us and we were having a barbecue around the house. And you know, there was all sorts of different people there, children and families, moms and dads, young adults, youth, children. It's like running amok kind of thing. We just had some food together, a gathering together. And one of the children, he had his collar on. Malcolm had his collar on. He was a Methodist, apparently. But he had a collar on, and he says that he was just sitting in the room hanging out. And one of the children says to him, Malcolm, what? Tell me about God. And of course, Malcolm, not missing the opportunity, lays down across the room and stretches himself out across the room, puts his hands on a chair and his other feet on a chair and says, man has a hard time getting to God sometimes. He says, and Jesus provides the bridge. And I think Malcolm did that for the children in the room. I think he did it for the adults. I think he did it for the parents. But most of all, he did it for me. Malcolm was always renewing, always refreshing, always refueling. He was always pointing me to the scriptures to refuel me. He was always surrounding me with people who were good for my life, that refreshed my life. He was always pointing to things that were restorative. He was able to communicate what it meant to live this life, to know that Christ is his life. And everybody who was around Malcolm said that you know, God was indwelled in Malcolm, and Malcolm had decided to follow Jesus, and God had filled up his life with the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit could only fill up to the top so much, and when he was around people, it would spill off onto other people, and people would be infected. I like that. People would be infected with the presence of God, refueled, renewed, and refreshed just because of this one person. And Paul wanted his people to know this life. Paul wanted them to know that those first three dominoes are important. But the fourth one is even more important. And he gives us some guidelines in our scripture. And I'm going to ask you to go there, Colossians. This time we're on chapter 3. I want you to follow along. If you've got your Bibles with you, your physical one, open that. If not, just open another tab if you're online or look it up on your phone. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. And you've heard it, but we're just going to go through a little couple of chunks here. Paul says, I want to encourage you. I want to build you up. I want to restore you. He says, I am glad when I saw... that's not it. It's chapter 3, verse 1. Since you have been raised to now life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. You're with the ascended Christ. You've decided to follow Jesus. You're with the ascended Christ. And think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. For you died to this life, and your real life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, is revealed to the whole world, you will share in all his glory. So, since you know these first three dominoes, since these dominoes have started falling in your life, I want you to know this life. I want you to be encouraged. I want you to be exhorted. I want you to be refueled with what I'm going to send to you. And I want you to keep your sights on heaven. Now, this does not mean that we walk around like this. There's nothing else going on. Everything's fine. Nothing to see here. I've got my eyes fixed on heaven. Everything's going really well. He doesn't mean that. He means set your eyes on things that look like the kingdom of God. Amen? Set your eyes on things that look like refueling you. Set your eyes on things that look like renewing you. Set your eyes on things when you see other people, you feel refreshed. Set your eyes on heavenly things. That's where I want you to start. I want you to start right there for your walk. Only three chapters in. What does that look like in our daily life? That's all very fine, set your minds on heavenly things. It might look like taking a look at your neighbor across the street and saying to them, saying to yourself, what is it that can refresh this person's life? What can it look like in their life that it sounds like, smells like, shakes like the kingdom of God? What does that look like for that particular person? What about the person who works 12 hours a day, 7 days a week? You know the person. And what does it look like to refuel their life? Probably just a cup of coffee, probably just a bottle of water that they were never even expecting. I kind of like the Jesus that you're involved with. I kind of like the Jesus that you are proponing, that you engage with. What else does it look like? How can I be a refreshment in my family situation? Think about that. Bowen's systems theory, Bowen, who was a famous counselor, said that the family only gets better if one person in the family gets better. What does it look like to refresh your family? How can you set your eyes on heavenly things so that it infects your family? What is it that you can do so that they are refreshed, renewed, and refueled? Paul goes on to say, put to death the sinful nature. Put to death things that are not of this world. Before, he says there's a mystery going on. There's a mystery going on in your life. And we've been talking about that with the different dominoes that's been going on. The crisis in you and crisis in us. And it's a crazy mystery. And we understand some of it, but not all of it. And we won't know the fullness of that until the last day. And when we rejoice together at what God has done in each in our lives. And he says he's going to show us that, and we're all going to share in that. But he talks about now how we can not be refreshed. How these things are not refueling. These things are not restoring. He says, put to death, stop this. The sinful earthly things lurking within you, things that's still around, have nothing to do with sexual immorality, impurity, lust, and evil desires. The first five. He does like two sets of five. The first five are real hitters. Have nothing to do with these things, lust, evil desires. Don't be greedy, for a greedy person is an idolater, worshiping the things of this world. Because of their sins, the anger of God is coming. You used to do these things when your life was still part of this world. Sexual immorality, any distortion of the way God has set up sex from the beginning. Anything that is a distortion of that, God don't like. Any, these are all attached to that particular thought process. Impurity, lust, and evil desires. And don't be greedy. And these are basic. These are simple things that were all the way through Israel. And you know these things because when these things get violated, they're not refueling. They're not restoring. They're not refreshing. Amen? When these things happen to us personally, when these sins that Paul lines out, we don't feel refueled. We don't feel refreshed. And we don't feel renewed. Paul says, put these things to death. Put these things to death because that used to be your old way of life. Maybe you have been a recipient of these sins. Maybe you have done them and you feel guilt and shame about them. And ultimately, there will be judgment on the last day, but I think there's enough of our own judgment when we do these things to ourselves. We have consequences. We have comeuppance. We have a reality that happens from engaging in these sins. I don't really have to say much about them. They're right there. But Paul says they lurk around. They hang around in our heads. They hang around in our souls. Well, if I did this, if I got this, if I was able to get this much money by doing this, then things would be good in my life. And it's all about taking control of what we want. And Paul says, put that stuff to death. You used to do these things when your life was still part of this world. Malcolm McCall lived in and amongst this kind of environment. Malcolm lived in and amongst what sailors did and sailors were greedy for. He lived infecting the gospel into, and he knew my old life. He knew what sailors did. He knew how sailors lived their lives. Now, if you don't know how sailors lived their lives, just think of like Pirates of the Caribbean and you'll be kind of close. But even in amongst those lives, Malcolm never did this. Don't you do this. Don't sin. Don't think lustfully. He never said that. He demonstrated how Christ was in his life. He lived the life. He was faithful to his wife, Janet, back then for 30 years. He showed me how to live in and amongst some of the junk that sailors lived in and lived a righteous life. He lived a life of purity. He wasn't greedy. He opened his doors to his house and welcomed us in and took my stupid questions that didn't even make any sense. He listened. He was gentle and kind and loving. And it kind of made me not want to do these first five things. They're the most difficult things to deal with, especially when they're done against us. Paul says, that used to be your life. That used to be your life. He says, but now, this is verse 6, but now is the time to get rid of some more things. These are a little lighter than the ones before. Another five. Paul liked his five. Yeah? These five: anger, rage, malicious behavior, slander, and dirty language. Don't lie to each other, for you have stripped off your old sinful nature and all its wicked deeds. So he goes on to say five more. And one of these is really gets translated in different ways. Malicious behavior. That word there is kakaia. It means distressing behavior towards somebody else. A hateful feeling or humiliating feeling. Making someone feel lesser than yourself. All the way through the Bible, God's MO, God's modus operandi, is standard way of treating you, is that you would be refueled, that you would be refreshed and renewed. He always wants that for your life. And so Paul gives us these things that says, don't do these anymore because these aren't refueling, they're not refreshing, and they're not renewing. Amen? These aren't good for your life. If you're around people that do these and, hey, let's do this together, it's not going to go well. Something's going to go downhill real quick if this is what unites you. This doesn't make your life feel refueled in Christ. This doesn't renew you. This is not the Malcolm McCall with the big bear hug making you feel secure and new again. It's a detriment to what God wants for your life. And if you're around people If you're with people, you in constant contact with people, or you text them on your phone, in a WhatsApp group or whatever, and they're making you feel lesser than yourself, they're making you feel like you're not valued, they're making you feel like what you stand for doesn't matter, then get out the group. God wants something for your life that's so much better. God wants to refuel you, and he wants you to live the life that he has for you. He says, don't do that anymore. In fact, verse 10, he says, put on your new nature and be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like him. Put on, we're going to talk more about putting things on next week. But put on this new nature. Later on in Ephesians, he says, put it on like an armor. Put it on like an armor that the Romans wear. And place it on yourself and tell you, this is my identity. This is who I am. This is my life. This is what I want for my life. I want it to be renewed, refreshed, and refueled. I want to be around people that do that. Amen? Find these people. Find these people that want your life to go well. He says, learn to know your Creator. In the funeral last week, someone said, what was his hobby? What was Jerry's hobby? What did he always want to do? What would he do if he just wanted to do something? And the daughter's response was, he just wanted to learn more about Jesus. That's a good hobby. Paul says, learn to know more about your Creator. Learn because and become like him. Become like Malcolm. Become refueling. Become renewing on your relationships. Be restorative in the things that you do. How can I live my life so that others will know what it means to also follow him? And the dominoes start to fall. The dominoes start to fall in our lives. And the first domino, of course, is this little one that's only two. I'm going to ask Lynn to come up and help me. Give Lynn a round of applause, please. Not bad. Lynn's going to be my helper because now we have four dominoes. You can have three and four. Lynn, turn around. And the first domino was what? Proximity to the ascended Christ. Proximity. Number two was Christ is in you. Christ is in you. And number three, right here, this side. Sorry, we didn't practice this. Number three is Christ in us. Some of you are paying attention. It's so good. You might have to go back and rewatch it. What the thing on Facebook? Yeah, you might have to go back and rewatch. So, and then today, Christ is your life. Christ is your life. And if these dominoes, we're getting bigger and bigger. We're going to turn them. You're going to turn number one. And these dominoes, we're getting bigger and bigger. This one would be as big. Would be twice the size of that one in the corner over here. And as we start to understand that we have a proximity to Christ, as we start to understand that Christ is in you, and that we start to understand Christ is in us, and we're excited about that, we realize that this is our life. And as we touch the first one, we understand that Christ is our life, and this is the thing that restores us more than anything else. This is when we see this happening in people's lives, when we see this happening in and amongst our community, we realize, oh, this is my life. This is what I want for my life. This is everything to me. This is way more than my hobbies. This is way more than just coming to church on a Sunday. This is way more than just being with a couple of people that might like me. This is about the kingdom of God coming into our midst. Amen? And when that domino falls, when that domino falls and we understand that Christ is our life, when that falls, we live restoring, we live refueling people, we live refreshing people. Domino number four is Christ is your life. Amen? Let's pray together. Gracious and Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that we get encouraged, we get refueled, we get restored and renewed for your kingdom when we see this happening in and amongst our lives. We pray, Lord God, that we'd see more and more of this in our neighborhood, that we'd see more and more of this in our community, that we'd see more of this in our church, and that people would know through our behavior, through our actions, that you are our life. We ask this all in your precious and powerful name. And everybody said, amen.